Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Bring Out Your Best Blog Talk Radio. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright, professor of transformational leadership at the Wright Graduate University for the realization of human potential. And that's what we're here about today and every day. And in particular today, we're talking about conflict in relationships, conflict about how it's necessary, conflict about how it's a skill to engage in, and a lot of people never develop that skill because they either are bullies, are wimps, they avoid too much, or they fight too much and don't know what to do. Life is conflict. Great relationships require great fights. That's a point we want to make today, and it requires intimacy. Everybody says they want intimacy, but intimacy is vulnerable, and it requires that I be open and honest, that I be authentic. And authenticity, according to the existentialists, isn't me telling you a nice story. It's actually me becoming who I could become. Yeah, it's not a story. It's an unfolding real life happening. And today we're going to cover three of the rules of engagement from our book, The Heart of the Fight, 15 Common Fights, what they mean, a couple's guide to 15 common fights, what they mean and how they can bring you closer. The first rule is to assume 100% responsibility, and no, the next one is nobody gets more than 50% of the blame, and orient, tell, and agree with the truth always. We sold our employee assistance business in 1994, and I started officing with Judith in 1995 and said that I wanted to go into business with her. Neither Judith nor her staff wanted to have anything to do with me, but I said, I'm going to start clearing the way for us to go into business together. And so I had staff and she had staff, and we would go to lunch together, and I would proceed to dole out my criticisms of Judith and what she did. And I always would let her know that this is so that we'll be able to work together and have a great relationship in the future. So we had been working on this for about 2 years when we were in Paris with our friend Stan Smith. And we had gotten kicked out of one restaurant and bar, and we'd closed down another one. And we were in another one around 2 a.m., I would guess it was, when Judith and I were going at it. And that's how the Wright Graduate University for the Realization of Human Potential, well, what became that, the Foundation for the Realization of Human Potential, were born, because it was in schools that you could have different philosophies and still continue to teach people and value different points of view. So we didn't need to iron everything out. And that was a creative outcome of 2 years of conflict. Actually, there'd been more conflict before that, but those were the 2 years where I had said that I wanted to go into business with her. So we want to understand that conflict creates intimacy, and that we have to have the courage to fight for true love. True love isn't some magical happening. That's one of the chapters in the book. We talk about the fact that love is messy, and it has conflict. So we want to welcome you to bringing out your best and to help you join us in Love is Messy, the best fight we ever had. So let's have a caller come in. The first caller is Simon. He says, I've been avoiding fights and want to learn how to get into good fights and take risk. So, Simon, talk to me about it.
Yes. So, Dr. Bob, just thinking about my own marriage life, and most of the time, like I said, I have been avoiding fights, and that has been leading into me being like more passive-aggressive. And it's actually has created a lot of distance between myself and my wife. And although I have started to like express more, but I'm still having Like I need some coaching on how to basically invite my wife to a fight.
Well, for starters, in the example I gave you, I let my wife's staff and my staff know that I was having these fights because I had a positive outcome. I wanted us to go into business together. So the key invitation, I think, comes with saying what you're fighting for. That's one of the first rules of engagement, or is to fight for, not against.
Okay. Yep. That makes sense. So basically, my work would be to set up, like, before I jump into or start yelling or whatever, I would, like, look into my wife's eyes and tell her I'm about to say something, and that's the reason I want to talk about it, and just like start having a conversation and where it leads. So that's very helpful. Yeah.
Okay. Thanks a lot, Siam.
Yep, thank you.
Thank you. So that's really critical. Siam has to declare what he's fighting for. Then he has to take 100% responsibility for his own satisfaction, and nobody gets more than 50% of the blame. Our next caller is Rachel. She says, I'm afraid to let someone see my really raw messiness. What are some small steps? Tell me about this, Rachel.
Hi. Yes. I want to be with my boyfriend and have like a really, like, let him just see my messy, raw side. And I'm really afraid because I've never done that before in a relationship. So I'm wondering how to go about it. And I guess I could just go there. I could just be with him and start sharing. But I'm wondering if you have any tips on moving into this territory.
Well, I'd go back to what I was saying to Siam before, is what do you want different in the relationship? Your messiness will show up plenty as you fight for outcomes that you want. I'm not sure you have to just do it. It sounds like you deeply want to know that it's you that he loves, and what better way to find out than to fight for what you want?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it's just I'm just scared to go there because I haven't been that vulnerable with somebody to allow them to see me that way. So, I'm nervous.
Well, of course you are. But what should be happening that will help you get over your nerves is when you decide you really want something, then you'll start fighting for it.
Mm-hmm.
What would you change?
Yeah.
If I had a magic wand, what would you change about the relationship?
I would change, I think, just my my vulnerability. Like, I want to, it is a relatively new relationship, so I think it's like I have to make the first move to be the raw person and messy, and that's part of the, I think part of my own issue is like I would like it to be easier for me, I guess, is what I'm coming up with. That's harder.
Well, hang on. So but my guess is that there are lots of things that happen in the relationship that you don't like or that you would like to see different. Start saying what you want. You don't have to jump off a cliff. You don't have to always dive in the deep end of the swimming pool. Why not just start out by saying what you like and what you don't like more, and then eventually you'll get fully there.
That's a good idea. I like that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's
what I
yearning
want to
see
more and of what I want to be.
Right. It's the first two skills from the heart of the fight. Yearning, chapter 4, engaging, chapter 5. Yearn and engage, and then everything else will take care of itself.
Okay. Yeah. Thank you.
Then you're going to end up sharing, and he'll end up sharing, and you'll see if he really wants to dance with you.
Mm-hmm. Sounds like a good idea. Thank you.
Thank you. You know, this is really a big thing, isn't it? We want somebody to love us for who we are, but we're afraid to be who we are. Our next caller is Kelly. She says, are anger and fear normal? If so, how to begin a healthy conversation to diffuse anger? Diffuse anger? Why wouldn't you ride the anger, Kelly? Talk to me. I hear some giggling.
Can you hear me?
Yep, got you now.
Okay. So, no, I don't want to always be in, I don't know, I like to just be in a very harmonious state of mind. I'm tired of hearing an angry person all the time. I understand I own 50% of it.
Well, hold it. The only reason somebody's going to be angry all the time is because they're not getting satisfied. The problem isn't the anger. It may be what you're angry about. I don't know. But first of all, fear and anger are totally normal. And they have a natural function. Fear is to get us to safety, and anger has two primary functions, to get away from a pain or to acquire a pleasure.
But this is big, but it's not my anger, it's his anger, and obviously that's because he's saying we're not talking about the things that he wants.
Well, but you don't sound overjoyed with his anger.
I'm not.
It sounds like you're conflict averse. What is he fighting for? What does he want?
See, that's the dialogue that I need to start, but I'm stopped at the start. When I ask questions, that's what I need is some words to get him to actually talk about it. I would preferably not scream about it, but talk about it.
Well, for starters, you don't want to wait until he's angry. Then you want to talk when he's not angry. It doesn't sound like you folks are unwrapping these fights.
What do you mean, unwrapping them?
Well, under every fight is a deeper yearning. As we go into the fights, I think part of what you already have what I would call a miswanting. Harmony, that's fine, but my wife and I can have great harmony in a fight when we listen to each other, when each of us is fighting for something. And we resolve the fights very fast because we tend to get to a better outcome or a deeper understanding. So, but it sounds like you're resisting the fight, A, and B, you have a yearning to be appreciated, to be cared about, and to be seen, and you're not getting it.
I think that you hit that spot on, and I think it's mutual. And so it becomes just this ugly battle.
Right. Yeah, when people don't go to the essential yearning, there's a thing called miswanting, where what we think will make us happy is not what it's going to make us happy. That's why we spend so much time in the book, The Heart of the Fight, talking about how to get to your deeper yearnings.
I clearly need to read it.
Well, cool. It'd be nice if he'd read it with you.
It would be. I was just thinking the same thing.
Well, first of all, you learn to fight for, not against. And I wish
right.
you both the best.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
So now this is really cool what we're talking about because some people are more conflict avoidant, but very few people really know how to fight for things. Usually they complain, and the essence of complaining is to punish somebody for what's not happening, but not to fight for what you want. So let's all hold ourselves accountable to fight for what we want. And our next caller is Joe, and he says, my girlfriend doesn't give me enough time when we are arguing. What do I do? Doesn't give me enough time. Tell me about that, Joe.
Hey, Bob. So So usually when in the course of argument, like, we've gotten really particular about how long each of us will take up time as we back and forth and we're in our flow of arguing. And when I've learned to be, like, really calm my superiority. So I'm as patient as possible. I actually make it a game to be as patient as possible as I can when she's carrying on or she's arguing about something. And then when I talk, she will tell me, like, this is taking too long. Hurry up. And I'm like, I'm spending a quarter of the time that you spent. And there's this kind of, like, just impatience that comes across with her when we're arguing. And I'm like, I need, like, a referee here, like, because I just don't feel like I get my, like, appropriate time. And it's frustrating.
Well, hang on just a second. So one of the first rules of engagement is nobody gets more than 50% of the blame. How is it you manage to not get more time sooner, Joe?
So you're asking me how did I not, like, was I not able to talk, like, get my
sooner.
Point across sooner?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, like I said, I've been just working on being, like, listening and hearing more. So I let her kind of
Stop working on listening and hearing more. Stop it. Just agree with what's true in what she says and say what's true for you. You're too busy controlling the interaction. You have an agenda, and she's not meeting your agenda, but you're also not engaging fully up front. What matters is that each of you agrees with the truth in what the other is saying, and you speak the truth. So get in there sooner, agree with what's true in what she's saying, and then express your truth.
Well, then, okay, so, and this is another question I've always had, is, like, then it's really okay to interrupt, because there's kind of, like, a rule we've created, like, okay, don't interrupt. I didn't interrupt you, you can't interrupt me. And it sounds like if I just sense what the truth is.
That's a control strategy in hell. Corporations that don't want people to tell the truth have what they call respect rules. And that's nuts. Mm-hmm. You interrupt, but you also listen. There's a difference between interrupting to wipe somebody out and interrupting to stay present in the argument.
Okay. Wow, I like that. I like that. I knew that was a goofy-ass rule. Okay.
Yeah, and the critical thing I'm going to go back to, Joe, is this truth. Agreeing with the truth of what the other person is saying and express your deepest truth. And then you go at it fully, and you guys will resolve stuff faster.
Got it. Excellent.
Okay.
Thanks.
Thanks a lot, Joe. Yeah. Yeah, isn't it terrible? I mean, this is so many corporations. Would you let me finish? Excuse me, but you're being tedious and boring. Why would I let you finish? No, let's have an alive, engaged conversation. Alive, engaged conversations aren't you go, I go, you go, I go. Nah, they're much more fun and much more engaged. And it's so much richer when we can trust each other to take full responsibility for our own satisfaction, and nobody gets more than 50% of the blame. And it is so much richer when we agree with the truth of what the other person is saying. And coaching couples, a lot of couples are afraid to agree with the truth of what the other person is saying because they're afraid they're going to lose their own point. Yep. Some people, especially passive-aggressive people, start listening and they lose themselves in the other person's logic. If you're one of these people that loses yourself in the other person's logic, you're going to need to tell them straight out, I'm not going to listen to you all the way till I get heard because I'm afraid I'm going to lose myself in your logic. Then you go to it. Don't worry about it. So, intimacy is not what we think. It is a complex, messy dance where we develop increasing depth in trust and understanding and having increasing room for each other. It's exactly the opposite of shutting each other down. It is a dance where we each get to dance fully in relationship, understanding each other, understanding ourselves better, following our yearning, engaging, revelating. I share stuff with you, you share stuff with me. We get closer, life gets better. And through conflict, we create intimacy. But we have to have the courage to fight for love. So, tonight we're having a campus visit here, 6 o'clock, 445 East Ohio, in room 340. We'd love to have you join us. We have another foundations training, which is our free intro to our year of transformation. And we used to charge almost $800 for it. We do it for free now. You do have to put a deposit down to save a seat. You can sign up for that at rightliving.com or call 312-645-8300. That's 312-645-8300. We'd like to thank you for joining us tonight. This is the year of personal power. Engage. It's about igniting your life, energizing your life, and igniting your world. The year of personal power, energize your life, ignite your world. Bring your best to the world. We're working on increasing our net worth by increasing our network and the value we bring to our network. So thank you very much for joining us in this, the year of personal power. And we'll be more on the heart of the fight the next time we see you. If you'd like to ask a question on our show or email hello@rightliving.com. That's hello@rightliving.com. Thank you for joining us today. Go forth, energize your life, ignite your world. I'm your host, Dr. Bob Wright.